He is risen.
I just try that again, right?
He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Amen, amen. Praise God.
You know, this day is everything about our faith. We're Christians, and it matters because of this day, because of Resurrection Day. Now, I'm going to take you into prayer in a moment, and in addition to praying and asking the Lord to speak to us from the Word, I also want to pray for our brothers and sisters around the world. Do you know that Easter Sunday is so precious, so important? But when that happens, the enemy attacks, you know, the enemy of faith, the enemy of God. And in case you guys don't know, terrible things are happening around the world, particularly in the nation of Sri Lanka, where churches have been attacked, many churches, as brothers and sisters in the Lord are celebrating resurrection, worshiping. Over 200 have already been killed, and churches are being burned and stuff like that. Right now, it's happening. So let's go to prayer, trusting the Lord, asking the Lord to just protect our brothers and sisters around the world as they worship, but that they would have courage because Jesus has resurrected. And would you just join me in prayer right now? Gracious Heavenly Father, I want to come before you to thank you for Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord Jesus, we thank you because death cannot hold you down at all. You resurrected. You defeated the greatest power in the universe from the enemy. And you just took care of that when you resurrected. Lord God, right now we want to pray for our brothers and sisters all around this world, particularly in the nation of Sri Lanka. Oh Lord God, even as they suffer, because they love you, because they worship you, because they believe in the resurrection. Oh Lord God, would you be with them? Protect them, strengthen them. And those that have gone to be with you, Lord, we know they're receiving a great and awesome reward. Father, we come before you today to thank you that we can gather in safety in America still as we worship you. Lord, would you speak to us from these words, allowing us to understand, and as we leave here later, that we'll be different simply because we have encountered you and your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Resurrection is the defining moment, the defining day, the everything about Christianity. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that if the resurrection didn't happen, if Jesus is not resurrected, we are worshiping a worthless God. We are basically worshiping in a way that is useless for me, for you. And there is no purpose in it. We're just worse than the ones that just are out there shopping right now and don't care. Because if Jesus doesn't resurrect, we won't resurrect, and there is no hope at all. That's what he said. And indeed, resurrection was so monumental, so important, it changed everything. Did you know, I know, we come to church on Sunday. Sunday is a day that we kind of grew up in, thinking that this is the last day of the week. It is a day in which we kind of relax and maybe treat it as our Sabbath. Do you know that this is not the day of Sabbath, you know? The Jewish people had one day that was so important to them because it came all the way from Genesis. It was at the end of creation, God ordained the seventh day as the Sabbath day, a day in which you do not work, you rest. And the Jewish folks follow that to a T. And at the sixth day, which would be Friday in the evening at sundown, so Sabbath begins and you're not allowed to work. And Saturday is the Sabbath day. That changed, you know when? At the resurrection. That changed for believers at the resurrection. So instead of worshiping God on the Sabbath, Sunday is not the Sabbath, it is the first day of the week. We changed it. It's monumental. You know, think about that. Think about how calendar was changed because of it. That's how important resurrection was. For the believers, as they said, no, we are now going to worship God on the first day of the week. Why? Because he resurrected the first day of the week. And so we have been doing that for the last 2,000 years. The resurrection is so important to the believers and also to the foes of the Almighty God. In fact, anytime, you know, someone's threatened with life and death, and particularly persecution. I mean, how many Christians have had their heads chopped off, like the Apostle Paul, or have been burned at the stake, and so on and so forth? But they always had this resiliency to say, we are not afraid. We will stand, we will stay, we will allow you to do that to us, because you know why? Not only because we believe in the Almighty God, but we believe that the Almighty God will resurrect us. And so in histories, there are some cases where the enemies of God will say, okay, you think you're going to resurrect. We're going to make sure you don't resurrect. In fact, in the year 1637, for some reason, the Japanese, I haven't done a lot of history of the Japanese Empire or the Japanese nation at that time. Way back there, the Christian faith went to Japan, and many people gave the lives of Jesus Christ. And the emperor at the time decided that we are not going to have any more of these scoundrels in this on our nation. We are going to exterminate every Christian. And so in 1637, the decree went out, just like you read some in the Old Testament, where all Christians are going to be exterminated, men, women, and children, doesn't matter how old or how young. In fact, they did it in such a way that it was just cruel, but also very sadistic. He said, okay, you guys believe that after you die, you will resurrect, that your body will come back out, like you talk about, like Jesus. We're going to make sure that doesn't happen. You know what they did? And they killed the Christians and cut off every single head from the body, separated the body. And then they brought all these heads to an island called Akizuma, a little island in Japan. And they had a mass grave just for the heads. All the bodies were everywhere in the islands of Japan. And they thought, okay, your God can't possibly connect your heads back. And so if you go to the island Akizuma, they might still have it. There is a mass grave in which there's a little thing stating there that there are 11,111 heads buried there. Can you imagine that? That this idea of the resurrection got into, you know, the souls of these haters of Christ. And they did that, believing that your God can't possibly find your body. You think? I think our God can do that. Those souls that were executed on that year, I want to tell you, we'll meet them someday. We'll see them in heaven. Resurrection was that important. Today, I want to talk about it and bring you through it a little bit. Now, most of you know what happened there. If you go through the book of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, you will find this different description of what happened on that first resurrection morning. And they're all compatible with each other, but different perspective. The passage I chose related to these women. Let me take a moment to carry you through and remind you of what happened. Early in the morning, now, Jesus was buried on Friday. That's the first day. Saturday, second day. At sunset Saturday, okay, the Sabbath is over. And so you can begin to do things now. The women, it seems like it's always women, they kind of do things first. And the guys, who knows where they were in their homes, they were different things, they were distraught, they were all distraught, but the women were really distraught. But they decided that as soon as they can, even before the sun came up at all, it was dark still, they're gonna go and pay homage, basically, to their Lord. Now, they weren't expecting a resurrected Lord, by no means. They heard him talk about it. They didn't really understand all of it. They had no idea, but they were going to go and prepare and anoint him a little bit more. This is what the Jewish people did. They would do that for the first 3 days because biologically they understood that after 3 days, the body would decay so badly that you can't even really get near it. And that's why you remember that when Jesus was called upon and Lazarus, you know, he came and Lazarus' sister said, you came too late. It's already been 4 days. At that point, in fact, the Jewish folks believed that the spirit of the man, whatever it is, would have left him by then because the body is too decayed. But this is only 3 days. And so the women, because they loved him so much and they just felt like they had to do something, not expecting that he was going to be alive at all, because they prepared spices. They got up early, maybe Saturday night, or after the Sabbath went, and they can go and shop again. They got spices together, whatever it is that would anoint the dead body. They got together. We know there's a group of women. They were all women. We don't know all of them. We know Mary Magdalene. We know Mary, mother of James. We know Salome was there. We know Joanna was there. We know there's four, and there could have been others, but they were all women. They got together before the break of day. They went over there, and what they wanted to do was to anoint Jesus. They didn't even think much, though, because they remember, as they're running there, who's going to roll on stone? There's this gigantic stone. Women can't do that. We don't have enough strength. But they had no idea. They just did it. You know, they were so emotionally wrapped up with Jesus. They didn't think about the rational things and at all. As they were going there, this is what happened. You know, still in the dark. As they were going there from Jerusalem out there to the grave, suddenly there was an earthquake. You remember that, right? We read about it right here. They had no idea what happened. Why is there an earthquake? But it shook them. Probably put a lot of fear in their life, but they kept going. Come to find out, they get to the tomb. Think with me here. They get to the tomb, and the reason there was an earthquake was because an angel came from heaven and landed on that place. And when that happened, the earthquake came. The earthquake was not the cause. It wasn't the stone was rolled away that caused an earthquake. The resurrection wasn't causing the earthquake. For all we know, Jesus had already left there. He didn't need an angel to roll over the stone away, you see. Jesus came out already. The angel came down. He rolled the stone away. I know sometimes, you know, we think, well, God sent the angel so that Jesus can walk out of the stone, of the grave. No, Jesus didn't need an angel to push away the stone. You know, he can walk right through, and he did walk right through. And the angel came down. You know why he came down? So that he can open this tomb so that the other people can see it. And so the ladies came. Let me just take you a little bit here. There's a little kind of information here, and we'll get to our points in a moment. They got there. When they got there, they saw the angel sitting on the stone. They were scared. Mary Magdalene got so upset, she just turned around and ran back. That's another part of scripture you can find John. John talks about that. Mary Magdalene left the women, went back so she can tell Peter and John. And so she did that. Meanwhile, the women came up, and the angels told them, and they were scared stiff because the angel was there, and the guards were still there. They were stunned. They were lying there like dead men. They were just unconscious because they were so afraid of what happened. And the women was there. Meanwhile, Mary Magdalene went back, told John and Peter, and they both came running and running, one faster than the other. In fact, John ran faster than Peter, it says so in the scriptures. He got into the place, didn't see the angel, looked in there, and wow, Jesus was not there. Peter goes inside, looks, and they both go home. Meanwhile, Mary comes back now, and the woman had left, and Mary's by herself. And she looks, and she's crying, and she peeks down, and she doesn't see Jesus. And then she sees the angel. The angel said, what's the matter, basically? He says, somebody took my Lord. I don't know where he is. I don't know where he is. And the angel says to Mary, the same things to everyone. Don't you remember? He's resurrected. And then she turns around, and there was Jesus. And when she recognized him, she shouts out in the most unbelievable, affectionate name. She cries out, Rabboni, you know, my Lord, my teacher, and grabs him. And so Jesus said, don't cling on to me. You can't do it right now. I haven't gone to my Father yet. And then Jesus disappears. And here we come back to this passage. He disappears, and the women who just left the grave came running, and then they meet Jesus, and they jump down. They grab his legs, and Jesus tells them the same thing. This is the story, the brief moments on that first Resurrection Sunday. Can you imagine that? I was trying to, as I was preparing this message, I kept trying to put myself in that place, you know. What would I have thought about had I felt that earthquake? I would have been so scared. What would I be thinking about as I see this, you know, amazing being sitting on a rock? I would be so scared. And when he begins to tell me what's happened, what would I be thinking about? in the memories of the things that God, the Lord Jesus, told me, it's all coming back, flooding into my mind. That is it true? Can it be true? He's resurrected. He's not dead. His body hasn't decayed for 3 days yet. He's alive. Is that possible? I tell you, there's a lot of emotions there. If you allow yourself to read it, if you read those words, all four Gospels, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, every one of them described. If you allow yourself to read those words, just let sink in. I'm telling you, the emotion just calmed down because it was so emotional. It's factual, it's all there, but it's so emotional. And God has given us emotions. It's okay to be emotional on Easter. I want to be emotional on Easter. I want to wake up thinking, wow, what a great and awesome day. I entitled this message, Jesus Resurrected, Now What? Now what? What do? We're in America. We're not in Sri Lanka right now. In Sri Lanka, people are getting killed because they believe in this. We're going to go shopping later, maybe. There's all kinds of stuff going on. I'm sure your families maybe have prepared some meals, the special ham, you know, that kind of stuff. Is that what we're thinking about? If Jesus resurrected, now I can have a wonderful holiday. Is that what it is? No, not at all. Let me take you through some thoughts. First of all, I love it. I love it that every single passage here, it talks about it. And they, whether it's an angel or Jesus, is that don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I think one of the things that is powerful in human experiences is the emotion of fear. You know, we need to fear God. We know that. But you know what? We fear a whole lot of other things. I just can't imagine these women, how afraid they must have been. They were probably afraid of the gods. What would they do to us? They were afraid of the other Jewish people that hated Jesus. What would they do to us if they found out that we actually anointed him? When that earthquake came, it's like, what is this? I don't think there's earthquakes all the time in Jerusalem. And then they went there, and all the things that they expected was gone. Don't you have fears when everything that you expect, everything that was normal in your life, in your experiences, they're different? Changes a lot. Brings a lot of fear in your life. But the angel said, don't be afraid, to the women. And Jesus said to them, don't be afraid. Why? Why not be afraid? Why shouldn't I have a fear? I don't know the future. I don't know what's happening. Don't be afraid. Jesus said, I'm alive. That's why. The angel said, don't be afraid. He's resurrected. Don't be afraid. The Lord Jesus is here right now in our presence. I don't know what kind of fears you have in your life right now. Whatever fears you have, maybe for tomorrow, maybe for this week, maybe for an event that's going to come upon your life, maybe a doctor's note, maybe a call you're going to receive. You have fear in your life. And I want to tell you, this is what God is saying to you. Don't be afraid. Why? Not because of you, not because you can take care of it, not because there's some doctor that's going to solve your problem, not because you have a cousin that has all that resources that's going to take care of you. No, because Jesus has resurrected. That's why. I can just imagine. I can just imagine the thoughts going through their minds. It took a while, you know. It took a while for them to calm down here with the They were trembling. They were fearing so much that they were literally trembling. Jesus was on earth after his resurrection for 40 more days. In those 40 days, he met up with over 500 people. They saw him. They felt him. They ate with him. Remember what he told Thomas to do? Put your fingers on my hand. Put your fingers on my side so that you will know that I am resurrected. I am that Lord that they crucified. Live without fear. I know it's easy to say. It's really easy to say. When you have something coming up tomorrow, you don't know what the consequences is. You don't know who's going to do this and what's going to happen. You have no idea. It's so hard, you know. How do you corral these emotions in your heart? How do you corral the thoughts in your mind? We've all gone through that. I've gone through that. How do you bring it before the Lord and say, look, God, these are my fears. I hand them over to you. You have to believe without doubt in your heart that Jesus has resurrected. You have to believe that. If not, well, fear is going to be part of your life. I love it. I say, a runaway, you know, they had fear and joy together. See, the opposite of fear is really confidence and peace and the joy that comes with it, you know, knowing that someone is in control, someone's in charge. And they ran off, praising God. The second thought here I find is that we need to live with a new paradigm. You see, the disciples, these women, they had a paradigm before the resurrection. This is what it was. They believed in Jesus as a great teacher. They loved him with a passion, especially a person like Mary Magdalene, whom he delivered from seven demons. These women care for Jesus. They ministered with him and for him. There was a paradigm in their lives. This is what it was. Okay, we are going to be religious. We are going to believe. We are going to minister to people. We're going to serve the living God. There was a paradigm in their lives. It was a good one. But it didn't include a resurrected Lord. You see, that didn't happen. It didn't include the power of the resurrection. It was a paradigm that was nice, really nice. Maybe it's a paradigm that happens to a lot of us as Christians. You know, we're religious, we're believers, we know we're saved. We have this paradigm in our lives, you know. We go to church faithfully, we serve the Lord in the church, we serve the Lord outside, you know, we're faithful. But we're missing something. We're missing the paradigm of the resurrection. You see, resurrection changes everything. It does. When something defeats death, when the most powerful weapon on earth against anybody is taken away, you now live in a different paradigm. And so, you see, these ladies here, they suddenly realize, wait a minute, the world is totally different. Just 3 days ago, we were standing there, and we might have been the last, in fact. They were standing there watching their Lord being crucified, an utter defeat of their lives. And then they were at a distance when they took the body and they put the body in the grave and they rolled the stone away. The women were there watching. They didn't run away. But that was their paradigm. Their paradigm was that, you know, my life is this. Now it's over. I can no longer do that. I don't know what I'm going to do, but this is my life. And suddenly, on resurrection day, their paradigm is different. The power base is different. It isn't about what you can do by getting more people on your side. It isn't about how strong you are, how much resources you have. It is about a resurrection. It is about the power of the living God to resurrect not just Jesus, but you. See that? Resurrection power. It's impossible to defeat. When you have resurrection power in your life, whatever it is that God wants you to do, and you go about doing it, it cannot be defeated. If God has done this in your life, called you to do this in your life, you cannot be defeated. Not because of you, but because of Jesus. It's a new paradigm. It's a paradigm that we need to look at as a church, we need to look at as individuals, as we need to look at as a Christian movement around the world. That's why people do what they do. That's why they go to places where they go. Why do you think people went to Sri Lanka? Missionaries that went there. Why do you think Christians are all these places? Yesterday, I had a wonderful testimony from a former Muslim who spoke to our men's group in Dhaka. He shared about how being a Muslim in Kazakhstan. They were all Muslim. All Kazakhs are Muslims. And to be a Muslim meant this simply. That you follow what you're taught from birth. And to become a Christian means to turn away from all that you believe in. All your whole family. Everybody. It's a real hard thing. And why do people go to Kazakhstan in Muslim countries? Because they believed in the power of the resurrection. Why do people give their lives to Jesus Christ? Because of the power of the resurrection. He shared about a friend he had who's gone back to a country in the Middle East. He says, I haven't heard from him at all. I don't know what's happened. They brought him back because he became a Christian here. His family brought him back, kind of almost kidnapped him back, sent him back home, and no one's heard from him again. He says, I hope he's alive, but I'm not certain about that. And that's the consequences of believing in God. Why do people do it? Because being a Christian is so much better, you know, making your life so much better than being other. No, it is because it's real. And not only that, it is the power of the resurrection in our lives to make our lives completely different. And the hope of the resurrection that one day, no matter what happens, yeah, the resurrection is going to happen with us. See, it's a new paradigm, completely different. And so when you go out and live your life, you need to understand something. You are living with the power of the resurrection in your life. You need to know that your paradigm is this, that the power of the resurrection is part of who you are, what you are, how God is going to minister to you and through you. The power of the resurrection. Nothing is impossible. You say, how about my family? They don't like Jesus at all. I can't reach them. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You can't reach them, but the power of the resurrection will allow you opportunities, and you'll be amazed what God can do. Finally, I love this, and I read it in all those Gospels. It says it again and again and again. The angel says it to the women. Jesus says it to them. Live with two priorities. Go and tell. Go and tell. Isn't that great? Just simple. Sometimes I think, you know, we think being a Christian, serving the Lord, and doing missions work, whatever it is, it's so complicated. We got to get all this training going on and all. Now, none of that stuff's bad, but it's really simple. It's not that complicated. It really is. Go and tell. Go and tell. You see, the women saw the angel. The angel said, he's not here. He's resurrected. Go and tell. They meet Jesus along the way. They go, you know, they go and worship him. They worship him. They clasp his feet. They worshiped him because that's the new paradigm. You're going to worship that person who resurrected, right? He worshiped them. And then Jesus said, go and tell. Go and tell. Why? Because people need to know. The disciples need to know. The disciples who were not here because they couldn't get up in the morning or they're too afraid to come, they need to know. Thomas, who doubted, he needs to know. Peter, John, they need to know. James, etc., etc. They need to know. People need to know. You know what they need to know? They need to know there is hope. There is hope. This is all about hope. See, when you deal with death, death is hopeless. There's no hope in it unless there's resurrection. And so what they needed to do was go and tell. Just go and tell. I want to tell you, when you meet people, you know, your workplace, in a cafeteria, go and tell them. You say, well, I don't want to be annoying. I don't want to be obnoxious. I don't want to be disrespectful. I don't want to be, you know, politically incorrect. Really? Scripture is very clear here. Just go and tell. That's all. You don't have to be any of those things. Just go and tell. Go tell them that Jesus is alive. He is resurrected. He's the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Savior of your soul. Just go and tell them. He has resurrected. He's not dead. He's not in the grave. He is alive. Just go and tell. Go and tell. For some of you, you know, God's going to call you to missions work. You might have to go to another country. Then you might have to learn a language and then go and tell. You might have to learn a culture. Go and tell. The whole thing is go and tell. A good friend of mine went to Chandigarh, India. And that's a place that is just anti-Christian if you have one. The IMB sent them there, and there are very few missionaries there because it's just not very responsive. It's in the northeastern part of India, a part in which, well, it's kind of dangerous, actually, to be a Christian there. And he just went there. He went and told. And next thing you know, I'm talking to him. He said, well, we let one person to the Lord, you know. He was very secretive. You know, he can't tell anybody, but he gave his life to Jesus. Let's go and tell. That's it. When you go and tell, the resurrection power of the Almighty God kicks in. And people give their lives to Jesus Christ. These are two priorities. Whatever you're doing, you know, you can be a full-time missionary. You can be a student. You can be a worker somewhere in the oil field. Whatever you're doing, that's all you have to do is just go and tell. Look for the opportunities in the lunchtime, you know. How's your life, you know? How's your family? You know Jesus loves you. Just go and tell. You know he's alive. Go and tell. Isn't it simple? Really simple. Just go and tell. the resurrection. Today, I want to encourage you all, take a moment to give thanks to the Lord. Thank God that Jesus is real. You see, you know, the one phrase, Jesus is either a liar, a lunatic, or the Lord of Lords, right? And this proves he's the Lord of Lords. He said who he was, and he couldn't resurrect like so many couldn't before him. He's just a liar. Or he's a nut. He believed it. He's a lunatic. But Jesus resurrected. He's the Lord of Lords. And that's the person we celebrate today. That's the person we love. That's the person we worship. That's the person that we live our lives for. That's the person that we look forward to. And one day, what happened to him on that first resurrecting Sunday? One day, that's going to happen to you and me if we know Jesus Christ. We're going to resurrect. The body he has, you know, it's the first fruit, the Bible says. We're going to have that body. We're going to have this amazing body that he will give to us with the power of the resurrection that he owns, he possesses. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much. I'm so excited for the possibilities that you have given to us. Oh, Lord God, we know that one day we will resurrect too. Amazing. Help us, Lord, to have no fear in our lives. Oh, Lord God, help us to have a paradigm that says Jesus has resurrected. We will worship you. And that's how we live our lives. And would you remind us again and again and again and again and again some more to just go and tell. Oh, Lord, give us opportunities. Just tell someone, maybe every single day, that Jesus Christ is alive. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.